Almighty God, yeah, he bow before your throne. We bless your name, Almighty God. We bow before your throne. So let's sing it properly. Amen. We bless your name, Almighty God. We bow before your throne. We that name Yahweh, the whole creation, Hayaman, something happens. Hallelujah. You can't even pronounce that name. The Yahweh is our own corruption for it. So let's sing it again with knowledge. We glorify your we glory by Your holy name. Lord, we come to you because you are the Elohim Yahweh. You are the Elohim of the Elohims. You are the God of all gods. You fill the whole universe. You know the number of the stars. You call them by name. What a mighty and terrible God. We glorify your holy name. We bow from the depths of our being. We bow before. Yeah, to say, what is mine? Who am I, O God, that thou art mindful of us? We ask you to forgive us for the hardness and coldness of our hearts, of my heart. You see the pride. You see this spirit that have risen and say, we will have this temple. We will have this vessel as our habitation. We ask you, O God, to have mercy. Have mercy upon us, O God. Do not mark our iniquity. For if you mark our rebellion, if we mark our goings, our doings, who will stand before you? But there is forgiveness with you. There is mercy with you. As we come before your throne, O God, we bow before you. We bow the knee. We bow the heart. I will say, the Lord reigneth. The Lord reigneth from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Lord, you reign over every heart. You reign even in our situations. You reign over the darkness. You reign over the face of the deep. You are in control. Though the earth rolls real to and fro, though the inhabitants thereof be mad, you are still Elohim Yahweh. The I am that I am. The one that is, that was, and is to come. The Alpha and the Omega. The all sufficient. The governor of Zion. The mighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. My God, who is a God like you that has pardoned our iniquity and gone past our transgression? My God, we count it the privilege that you will draw us and cause us to come before you. We lift our soul unto you, God. From the ends of the earth do we cry unto thee, O God. We ask, O God, that you might look to us with favor and mercy. O God, that you might spread a table. Give us fresh bread. Hot bread, not stale bread. We don't want any yeast. We reject the yeast. We reject the mold. We reject stale bread. We reject the mind of man. Hallelujah. Pass for your mind. Let the mind of Christ overshadow this assembly of God. Let the Spirit of Christ, let those rivers in of Eden begin to run again. Let the fountains burst forth, O God. The ones down and the one up. Let it rain, O God, upon everyone grass in the field. Draw us close. Draw us close, O God. We'll come like Mary. We'll sit at your feet. Cover us with the borders of your garment. Open our hearts. Open our understanding. Open our eyes. Lord, cause break this bread. Break it to us, oh God. Hallelujah. That it will be a blessing to us. Blessed be your name. Be thou exalted. Be thou glad. So you will lead your flock like a shepherd. You will lead the gentle. You will minister to the young. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Minister to the Lord in your heart. Amen. Minister to the Lord in your heart. Amen. Places. We bring the waste places. We bring the ends of our. We bring the past areas of our land. We bring the strongholds. We bring the besetting sins. We bring the giants. We bring the darkness. We bring the depraved natures. That which is turned around within us, we'll bring it before you, God. Hallelujah. My God. Let the rivers of Eden, let that healing waters from the temple. For he said, wherever that river will go, everything will live. Let life come to us, O God. Let life come to our dead. Let Lazarus arise. Let the bondages be broken. Let there be the resurrection of the soul. For you will not leave our soul in hell or suffer your Holy One to see corruption. We shall not see corruption, O God. We reject the corruption of pride, of divisions, of blood covenant, and all the things that come with it. All the images, all the altars, all the wastes. You see the groves, you see the altar, you see the things, you see the pictures. We say, oh God, let there be erased. Let there be erased. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Today we are continuing with the ministry. We started on Friday night. We are going to put up the website later on. So in a week's time, it should be up on the website. And then it will be available, I guess, in the CDs and tapes. So those who missed, if you want to catch up, you can catch up from it. We can't do much in terms of summary. Just to say that we have started on Friday. We are looking at the doctrines of Christ. And we talked about Christ, the body of Christ. And on Saturday, we began to talk about our inheritance. Sorry, on Friday, we talked about Christ in the soul. And then yesterday, we began to talk about the various inheritance, our calling, our portion in Christ. And today, we are going straight to... yesterday, we talked about our inheritance as priests of God. And we're trying to be very detailed in laying the foundation. We have not built a house yet on priesthood. We cannot. It cannot be for now. There will be some other time we will go into detail about priesthood. But what we did yesterday was to lay the foundation of our priesthood. And our priesthood is the priesthood of the sons of God, which is the priesthood of Melchizedek. It's a priesthood of the Spirit. It's a priesthood that was given by an oath. But it says, the Lord swore, I will not repent, that thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And it says that he established Jesus, that Hebrews 5, Hebrews 6:20 says he established Jesus as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And we said, just like we said on Friday, you can be born again and not be converted. And what we have in the church is that there are many so-called born again people, but very few of us are converted. The conversion is the conversion of the soul, which is what we are trying to look at. Priesthood, you become a priest when you overcome. The sons are those who are firstborn, who break through the matrix, who come out first. And we saw yesterday that those who are sons are those who have overcome the barriers of sin, of tradition, of the world, the barriers of carnality, and so on. We did that much yesterday. And we also said that every soul that comes into the world comes in as a priest of Baal, a priest of darkness, because there is darkness. This is what you have in the soul. When sin came in, the nature of the soul, the mind, emotions, fell. They became depraved. And the seed Adam received became a seed of darkness. That is actually what you mean by the mark of the beast. The beast speaks of a nature of the soul that has been cast out of Eden. It's cast out of the shadow of God. It doesn't receive nourishment. It doesn't receive life. So it is outside of the covering of the mind of Christ. Therefore, that soul must fend for itself. It must feed itself. And it feeds itself with trash, with things, the husk from the world. That is the beastly soul. It's not subject to God. It's a wild creation. So that is the beastly soul. And that soul, when it comes into the world, comes in as a someone, as a being that has the burden of serving darkness and the spirit that feeds on the darkness within the soul. You know, so what it means, we'll look at that later, is that this soul has a body. It is a habitation of devils, of spirits. Much as we are civilized, that is the truth. So every soul that comes into the world comes in as a priest of darkness, serves darkness in the lifestyle and the culture and all that. We'll talk about the practicalities later on. We were to go on to talk about the second inheritance that we have, and that is the inheritance of being called sons of God. We will try to address that this morning. If we finish, then we will talk about the third one. There are four other ones to make it seven. So we'll see how far we can go today. Wherever we stop, we will carry on tomorrow. If we finish, if not, we will create time some other time to come back again, to talk about these doctrines of Christ. So that's by way of summary, as much as we can take. I'm opening today with the first scripture, 1 John chapter 3. This is a study of scriptures, so we will encourage you to write down on your phone, if you have your phone, on paper, if you have paper, so that you can go and study. It's not a preaching, it is a study. So we hope that in the night, before you sleep, you and your wife, you will review what you learned. And you review with your household, if you can. 1 John 3. John 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed unto us, that we should be called the sons of God." The Hebrew calls it Elohim. The word Elohim is an old Hebrew word meaning a high one, a prince, an exalted one. Some we call it, will translate as magistrate, and some will also translate as God, using a small g. There is no confusion with God, because God is the Elohim Yahweh. He is the God of all who are called to be sons of God. Amen. So when Jesus said to them, if God said you are Elohim, why do you think that I cannot be the son of God? Amen. So God has called men. Remember our definition of Christ. Christ is God in man. And if those who are not here, well, we will help you. 1 Corinthians 11, we can't go to it. 1 Corinthians 11 says that Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of woman. And God is the head of Christ. So Christ and God are different. So Christ is those men who have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in them bodily. That's in their soul. And very soon it will come to their body. Amen. That is the secret of divine healing. When your mind has been redeemed, your body will be healed immediately. Amen. So there was a word that came 2 weeks ago, or was it last week, about the healing of the body. So I hope we will take note. We will talk about it some other time. But we are talking about sons of God. Man is not God. The man is a son of God. Amen. It's a great difference. We are called to be sons of God. Hallelujah. But God is the Elohim Yahweh. He is the God of all the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, behold one manner of love the Father has bestowed unto us, that we should be called sons of God. Hallelujah. And the first son of God, there are two firsts. The first Adam. And Adam was the son of God. Is it your Bible?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Then you have his brother, Jesus. Hallelujah. Adam number two. He says, I am the son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. But Adam number three is in this room. Hallelujah. And you are what? Sons of God. Hallelujah. So somebody, I was talking to somebody, said, no. That the guy said, last Adam. Two of us. All of us make up the last Adam. Hallelujah. If God came into the first Adam and came into the second Adam, surely he must come into the third Adam. Sorry, if you know, some of the things I'm saying, don't mind me, just give me some allowance. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So, because you will see third Adam, yeah, but you see what you see is the last Adam, not third Adam. So, don't mind me. You know, I'm excited, so sometimes I go, so you have to bring me back. No. Amen. Okay. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. You know what it means? God has called you to be a son of God. It's a calling. The calling is different from reality. Amen. But at least let's have the calling in our pocket first. Amen. Now are we called to be sons of God. Amen.
Amen.
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. Those who want to change, you must see. You cannot change to what you have not seen. Amen. That's for another time. But that is the secret of change. You must see. It's what you see that you change to become. Hallelujah. That's why the eyes of understanding must be enlightened. You must see him. Because it is when you see him, you change. Hallelujah. Okay. Scripture number 2. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, yes. But as many as received him. 1:12 now. But as many as received him, to them did what? Gave him exousia. Power. Power means, you know, when you have power and you don't have, when you have, when you say nobody should pass this line and everybody crosses it, you cannot do anything about it, you don't have power. Amen. Somebody drew a line on the sand, but he didn't do anything about it. Somebody didn't even draw any line, he just acted. So there are two men who have power. One knew, just knew what to, how to use the power. So he gave us exousia, power, ability to choose. Amen. He gave us power to become the sons. Did you see it? To become. Hallelujah. There is a become. There is a calling, but you have to become. Amen. Hallelujah. The sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Let's finish up to verse 14. Which are not born, not of blood, nor of the will of man, or the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. So you see the principle of Adam, the principle of Christ, the principle of Emmanuel. Word made flesh. The Word was in the beginning, was with God, was God. Is it not so? And was made flesh. And dwelt in Port Harcourt amongst us. Dwelt in Jerusalem. Amen. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Okay. Scripture number 12, two here on my, the first two are part of two, but next scripture, John 17. So chapter 17 of that John. You know, we are in John now. You know, John had a very close revelation of Christ. You know, he worked very closely. So what he experienced, he put down. So we are in John. We will still be in John for a while. John 17 to verse 20. John 17:20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. I want you to know the English. You know, is it the adjective or which one is it? Is it the you know, there are ones which qualify, give more meaning to the other ones, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one. Where? In us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Look at verse 23. Can you beat it? Sorry, I in them, and thou in me. We talk about Christ in the soul. So, as Christ comes into my soul, the Father is in Christ in me. Amen. I in the soul, I in my mind, thou in my mind, the Father in my mind. Amen. That I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and have heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. I in them, thou in me, that they may be one in us. That is the fellowship. And truly our fellowship as sons of God is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with light, amen, or with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So when you wake up in the morning, you should feel cleaner. Amen. You should feel fresh. When you come to fellowship, at the end, you feel washed. Amen. May we feel washed this morning as we go. Even as you receive the ministry of the word, may we be washed. Hallelujah. By the rivers of his delight. Amen. Okay. We'll go to the next scripture. Romans, John now. Let's go to another one that saw him. Romans. Remember, these are testimonies of men that touched God, that are sharing with us. Romans 8. Verse 14. Romans 8:14. What does it say? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit is a bearded witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with what? Christ. You see it? Christ is a head and body. And because we are in Christ, we are joint heirs with the head. Because Christ is the Son of God. Amen. It so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Okay, verse 19. used to be one of these Ubongo scriptures. But now we come back to it. We lost it. We are now discovering it. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject. The creature is the soul. The man, that man in, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him which made, which has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you enjoyed that. Amen. This one needs drawing. So we shall draw Romans 8. We need to illustrate come, let's clean this one. We must draw a little bit here. Don't worry, I think I got it now quickly. Don't worry. Thank you. Okay. Just clean this one. Hey. Okay, clean, clean. Don't worry, just leave it. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, thank you. All right. I hope those of us at the back can see. Stood down. Okay. So everything will go then. That side will not clean. That's why it's our reference. We can clean this one, we can draw it again. Okay, no. Okay, I think it's okay, we can manage. Sorry, thank you. Okay, so we are trying to illustrate Romans 8, because it's very important. So we will try to illustrate it. This is our big man here. That's the soul. With the four living creatures, and then that's the heart, which is the center of the soul. The heart has a connection to my spirit. This is the soul. This is my mind. This is my emotion here. This is my desire, and this is my will. So this is the ego, the nature of the ego. This is the ego, the nature of the fallen man, which is like a serpent. is earthbound, so we'll use serpent as an example of an earthbound. We can also say it's the Philistine, as we saw yesterday. And we can put Goliath here. Okay, plus the five lots or five gates. Or five gates. Those who are there yesterday can remember. So here is the lion nature, and then here is the ox nature. And here is the human spirit. And then here is the body. Okay, so here is the Spirit of God. Okay, which deals with my heart and also relates to my spirit. And here is Christ, or the Son of God. And then finally, you have the Father. Okay, we saw on Friday, the scripture is in 1 John 5, says, there are three that bear record in heaven. So this is spirit, this is heaven. And then this is also spirit realm of man that deals with the soul and then deals with the body. So it's all intertwined. Now scripture says that the Spirit of God bears witness with my own spirit. So we can see that here. We can see the ministry, the relationship between the Spirit of God and my spirit. That's a witness. And now the Bible also is saying that the Spirit of God is given to us as the spirit of adoption. So this is the spirit of adoption. I hope you can see. The Spirit of God is called the Spirit of... Well, you want to remove the stand? Yeah, you can remove it. I don't need it. You can keep it down. You can take it right down. Don't worry, I'll manage. Just move it. Okay. We can remove this one. Nobody's here. Okay, bring it here. Okay, we're not dealing with that side, but pardon me, I want to retain those photographs. It's okay. I think it's alright. It's alright. It's okay. When I need it, I will turn it. Praise God. Please, let's concentrate on this side. So our attention is between the Spirit of God and my human spirit. And the scripture is saying here in Romans that this Spirit of God is given to us as what you call the spirit of adoption. And I used to give the illustration. I said, it is the spirit of man in you that makes you a man. The ordinary animals, you know, they are just soul. They have no spirit, as it were. Alright? Now, a man cannot be the Son of God without the Spirit of God. Because it's the Spirit that makes you, that brings that strength of sonship, the awareness, the capacity of sonship into you. And because of it, The Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. On Friday we explained that going to these five things are written on the board, that when Adam's soul got into trouble, his nature, the nature, Bible says in Hebrews, Genesis 2, it says, in the day that you eat of this food, this fruit of good and evil is evil, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So the good in the evil is an evil good, if you pardon it. It is darkness itself. You say, because you are neither hot or cold, what's going to happen? Not accepted. So that is the concept. So when sin entered into man, something happened to the soul. That soul nature became corrupted. And we use that word, I've cleaned it. The word, the English word, depraved. Okay? It means originally corrupt. That is, there is something that went wrong about human nature. Of course, the atheists, all the people, they are arguing. They say there's nothing like original sin, blah, blah, blah. No problem. But we know that something happened to the nature of man, the nature of the mind, and so on and so on. So, the fallen nature of man became corrupted. And from there has been falling. It's always falling, it's falling. Alright? And of course, the seed that got in the darkness is there, multiplying. It's not static, it's multiplying. Even this morning, it's multiplying. But the Spirit of God is also working to block that multiplying, isn't it? And then there are spirits who cannot get life from God, but they can get life from you and me. So they are dwelling within the soul. Alright, Revelation 17, we saw it. It was a picture of that marriage, that relationship. The beast carrying the woman. Alright? And then we talked about the souls. All the souls, imagine we are now 7 billion all over the world. And very few have a seed of Christ. So you can imagine the sea is very dark. Is it not so? So we are fighting against, you know, so whether it's ISIS, so it is, the mind of man is falling, it's falling. Emotions are turning against God. That's part of what we have to deal with. But in the midst of it, good news, Christ. So Christ comes into the soul as a stranger. He hasn't taken over the soul yet. So I want you to understand that. So when a man says, I am born again, what has happened is that Christ comes. Now look at it. So here, sorry, this shouldn't be there. So this is the altar with the four horns. And we can very conveniently draw something else here. What are we going to draw? The cross. So this is the point where something happens to this soul. The soul that is on the way to hell, is on the journey to hell, free fall to hell. And then something happens. What happens is that blood touches the soul. And this soul is what? This is mind. This is what? Emotion, desire, will. The four corners of the soul. The only story is that blood comes in. Why? Leviticus 17:11 says, I have given the blood to you. To do what? To make an atonement for what? Soul. So the good news is that blood comes into. So it's the same thing So the blood comes in. We can also draw it here. The blood comes in. And of course, in the heart. Blood comes in. But remember, the soul nature is, the soul says, I am God. Because that's what the devil told him. If you do so and so, you shall become what? As God. It was a spirit of rebellion. A spirit of, what is again? All the things that entered into the soul. So the soul is operating as a God. So Christ that comes in is a little stranger. Christ comes in with a life. The life that comes in brings. So the life of God comes into the soul. Alright? And something begins to happen. But the nature of the soul has not been changed yet. The soul is not yet convinced. It doesn't say that I'm no longer a God. You say, well, you are God, you are coming in. Alright, let us see who will win. That's why the Bible says you are born again, yes, but the soul is not converted. So we have missed it up. We say, when I'm born again, I'm converted. No. When you are born again, you have begun the process of being converted in the soul. And the soul cannot be converted until the soul lands here. Alright? So that is the end point. So we are discussing, he's saying, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And he has given us the spirit of adoption. So this Spirit of God here is the spirit of adoption. So the question is, who is this Spirit of God adopting? Who is the object? Who should be adopted? I'm sure the answer is very clear. This God, this rebel, must be adopted. In other words, the Spirit of God, this Spirit of adoption, must find a way inside the soul. You must find a way inside the soul. And remember, see where the soul is. See where the Spirit of God is first. So, when we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, what happens is that the life of God comes into the whole arrangement and we are regenerated, quickened. So it is an intention. So there must be a progress. There must be a progress. It doesn't just happen like that. God is not in a hurry because he's building an eternal house. So you're born again, fine. You must come somewhere else. You must progress to a place where the soul is now initiated into the realms of the spirit. That is what you call the liver. That is the experience of the liver. This is the altar. And both of them are branch altar and branch liver. So the Spirit of God must find a way into the spirit. And not just there. It must find a way into the soul. Because that is what must be adopted. So the first move of the Spirit of God is what? It will naturally be what? The Spirit of God will invade my spirit. And that's what you call your baptism in the Holy Ghost. So this is the Holy Ghost baptism. The message of the liver is number one, consecration. Number two, sanctification. These two experiences are to bring the soul to the real experience. And what is that experience? Baptisms. baptisms. So, when you are born again, when the blood comes into you and you have now a covenant with God, the first thing that happens is that the water, the body is immersed in water. When they came out of Egypt, what did God do? He did a mass baptism. As they passed through the Red Sea, what happened? Bible said they were baptized unto Moses. Is it not good? That baptism was a prophecy to them as to what will be happening in the wilderness. Amen. 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 Are you with me? Answer now.
Yes.
We are together. Okay, good. So we are comparing the two so that it becomes plain. So the baptism in water is a prophecy, is a declaration. Somebody is being prophesied to that very soon you are going to be restored back. Remember, this soul here has been cast out of Eden, has been cast out. It still hasn't come back to God, because here, this is the real house. This is the real sanctuary. And here you have cherubims. And here you have garden. Okay? So the soul must sign its way back. It's going back. But there is a procedure for going back. It's a protocol for going back. And so the first baptism is the baptism in water. The next baptism is the baptism of the human spirit. And they tell us that this is a deposit, or it's temporary. That's not what the Spirit of God wants. Not just to baptize the Spirit. Because remember, the man is the soul. At some point, this will detach. When a man dies, this one detaches. The Spirit goes back to God. In fact, the Spirit returns back to God. The body does what? Goes to the ground. Okay? And then the real man, the soul. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God comes into your spirit, is good, but it's only a temper. It's still a prophecy to your soul that God is still coming into the soul. So the baptism in the Spirit is just a prophecy to the reality. And the real experience is what? Is the baptism into Christ, which is the baptism of the soul, the soul natures. So the soul natures must be baptized into Christ. In other words, the life of God that comes into the Spirit, this river must begin to flow into the emotion, into the mind, and into the heart. Now, yesterday we read the scripture in Matthew 15. And in 15:19, Jesus told them, don't waste your time washing the pot, washing your hands. You know, because the problem of man is not in the pot and the hand. That the things that defile the man are not the things that go into the man. The things that defile the man are the things that come from within the heart. The murders, fornication, blah, 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 and so on. So, if the Spirit of God is going to adopt the soul, it must go into the heart. Amen.
Amen.
So, this third baptism of Christ coming into your soul is what actually brings the experience of the adoption of the soul. So it is this spirit of adoption, as it invades the soul, that begins to bring you as a believer into the life of the Spirit. So you're not just only in the Spirit, you now begin to walk in the Spirit. But you cannot walk in the Spirit unless you are initiated. Amen.
Amen.
So anybody in this room who has not, number one, you have not yet gone to the altar. Abib, you have not begun the journey. And if you have begun the journey, you have not been to consecration. You have not separated yourself. You are not renewing yourself. Consecration means separation. Sanctification means cleaning what has been separated. And it is a daily process. And then you have not been baptized in water, and you have not been baptized with the Spirit. It means you need to make sure that you get all those done. So talk to Brother Hubert, Brother Sam, Brother Cass and others, and we will make sure we do, at least we can do the water one, alright, at the next opportunity. And if you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you cannot start. Just 1 minute about baptism in the Holy Ghost. There has been a lot of argument, some controversy, as always by the devil. How do I know I'm baptized in the Spirit? How do I not know I'm baptized in the Spirit? And all that and all that. From the explanation, it is very clear. Baptism means you must be buried. And that burying means, it signifies God burying Egypt. Egypt is buried. The old life of sin is buried. The old life of carnality is buried. Just like you are called, it is a calling. So also baptism is a signification. It is something that shows what God wants to do to the soul. So there must be a burial and a resurrection. So when you are baptized, necessarily you must go into the water, and necessarily you must come out of the water. You cannot sprinkle. Those who are permitted to sprinkle are those who are in prison. If you are inside prison, you can't have access to water. At least you can bring something. And we know you couldn't get water. And then, so on very rare condition, but those ones cannot, are not the normal. The normal is where you must find water. And the man say, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? So baptism, so if you've done sprinkling, no problem. We will make sure we do it properly. And of course, you are not baptized to a denomination and so on. Okay, so the Spirit of adoption is what we are talking about. This Spirit must get into the soul. The experience of getting into the soul is the business of the holy place. So this soul, from the point of baptism in Christ, must enter. Now, yesterday, last Sunday, we were talking about the message that Brother Jesse brought to us. The message he brought was the message of the tabernacle. Some of us older ones, who have heard the message before, at least I heard it from Brother Elton, some of the other brothers we mentioned. But when Brother Jesse came, he came with a larger vision of it. It's just like Moses, he had only 7 lamps. Solomon came and came with 10 lamps burning. It was the same lampstand. Solomon came with 10. Moses brought 7. So when Brother Jesse came, he came with a stronger, larger, more anointed vision about the tabernacle. The tabernacle encompasses all. The message about pride, by the time God finishes with you, you know that pride is gone. The message about the body is in the tabernacle, because the high priest is the only one, it's only one man that passes here, and he's the high priest. And that high priest is Christ, according to the priesthood of Melchizedek. And I am part of the body. So in other words, if I am not submitted to Christ, I cannot go. So he's speaking about the message of the body. It's in the tabernacle. The message of blood covenant It's again in the first place you come, you meet blood. It's the covenant of the blood of Jesus in my soul. And it begins to judge the spirit or the covenant of Nigeria, the covenant of my tribe, the covenant of my family. So those things begin to be judged at the brazen altar, the first message. So the message we are trying to share with it, what we are talking about is so important that if it is not in the tabernacle, it's not in the Bible. Because it is a simplified way of seeing the whole vision. And before we were confused because we say tabernacle, tabernacle, what does it have to do with me? You haven't seen yourself there? The mind, my equerry mind, my indulging mind must come under the hammer. Amen. Amen. If it hasn't been hammered, then you have not started. Hallelujah. So, how about the emotion? How about the desire? And yesterday we were saying the priesthood. He said, you are the priesthood, isn't it? And the members of you, there's your emotion, say, oh my soul, praise the Lord. The worship is coming from within. So, this is the place of worship. And when they lay down the sacrifice, they lay the sacrifice. What happens to the sacrifice? Fire comes. So in other words, it is the offering. If there is no offering, fire will not come. And many of us, the altar of our hearts are empty. There is nothing on the altar. Therefore, the fire is not there. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. If you don't have fire, try and put something on the altar, and the fire will come. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, everybody's keeping quiet. Amen. Remember Elijah? They were dropping, oh, go, go, go. He said, the man said, leave, 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 leave. So bring it. He repaired the altar. It's possible that the altar of our soul needs to be repaired. Eh? When we repair that altar and we put a proper offering, what do you do? The fire will come from God. And will begin to burn. And he said that fire must not go out. So when you feel the fire going down, what do? You go back to the cross. You go back and you check the offering of your heart, your intention, your purpose, and all that. So that's, I'm just going up, but that's a different message, because there are different types of offering that are made in this place. And in the time of Aaron, a man was one that made it for you. Pastor was one that made it for you. You meet Pastor Aaron and his sons. If you allow that expression, you give them your animal, they offer for you. Amen. But now it has changed. Every man, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to do what? To bring yourself as a living sacrifice. Where is the sacrifice in Montessori? The sacrifice is within you. Amen. So God is saying, my emotions are important. My thoughts, the things I am thinking, alright, the things I am feeling, I am not allowed to have any kind of feeling about my brother, because it is an offering to the devil. Do you understand? Say amen if you understand. Amen. Amen. That is what we are laboring to say, that this is a new priesthood. And because it's a new priesthood, you are the altar. Your emotions are not removed. My desires are not removed. In fact, those are the center of everything we are talking of. Amen. So I say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself every day. Now, in the old, how are they bringing the offering? They bring it in the morning. They bring it what?
in the evening.
So there was a morning sacrifice and there was what?
An evening sacrifice.
In other words, the sacrifice was continual because Jesus says, pray without
ceasing.
So every time there must be an offering. You are driving a car, you are bringing an offering, you and God are talking. You are discussing the scripture, the message that was preached the other day. If the message is playing in your car, you are driving, but you are listening to the message, you are bringing an offering, you are talking to God, you are blessing God, you are shouting, praise the Lord. You can have a prayer meeting in your car. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anywhere you are, whether you are eating, you are not eating, offering is going on. So this is a better covenant, made upon better promises, made upon better foundations. Hallelujah. So there is the outer court activity. Now the outer court cannot bring you into sonship, because the outer court only stops short being born again. And there is something that has happened to the end time move in this country, because the vision has blurred. So what we find is a wandering round. There's a going round and round because of the inability to enter. The inability to enter is the reason for the wandering around. The man is very close to the altar, to the ark. He's at the back. He's touching the ark. He's touching the table. He hasn't entered. The only way to enter is when you must go through the door. And Christ says, I am the door. Huh? Christ is the door. In other words, he is the head. In other words, it is Christ that brings you in. It is that baptism of Christ that brings you in. That's what we are talking about, Christ in the soul. So Christ must come into my soul to bring my soul into Christ. Amen.
Amen.
People are not answering, so let's do exercise. Watch my hand now, sister, watch my hand. Christ must bring you, say, Christ must come into your soul for your soul to come into Christ. Oh yeah, do it with me. Christ must come into my soul for my soul to come into Christ. Okay, Bracken, oh yeah, this is good. Christ must come into my soul for my soul to come in. If you're not careful, you stand up and do like me. Alright, Christ must come into my soul for my soul to come into Christ. Amen. So, look at it now. The Christ, that little green arrow, he has come into my soul. That's Christ in my soul. It is a stranger. So the man says, I pray and travel again until what? Christ be formed or be established. Amen.
Amen.
So the mind has to, something must happen to the mind. Something must happen to the emotion. All those creatures, all those, you see, they have their ways. They have their way of getting life. Eh? The lion wants to eat. What do you think he wants to do? He's going for blood. He goes for carnality. Eh? He's going for, you know, flesh. And flesh is very easy. Give me number one flesh, sexuality. Huh. Everybody has sexuality, sexiness. Huh? It's very easy. You don't pay money for it. Amen. Hey, my God is good. Is it there? Amen. That nature must be judged.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who will judge it? You. He says you must present your emotion. Hallelujah. And look at the desire now. The desire is already there. The body is not moving anywhere. From the head to the toe is on the ground. Hallelujah. And the serpent is getting energy from the ground. You are telling him to get up. How will he get up from the ground where he is? There must be an obunigwe. There must be bomb. There must be an earthquake that will shake it. I begin to raise it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The only hope for that emotion is where? It's here. It's in the mind. The ego. So he told the high priest, hey, look, you must wear something and put it on your head. And say what? Holiness. So when you want to change your appetite, you first change your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he says, seal the servants of God where?
Before.
The true ministry is a ministry that is working to change our mindset. To change our mind. So we are talking about the spirit of adoption. So this spirit of adoption must find its way into the soul. Remember, the body is still waiting. He said, all creation waited on tiptoe. For what? The manifestation of it. He said, we that are in this body, what's happening? We are groaning. Where we are groaning, hypertension is running around. Where we are groaning, diabetes is having a field day. We are still groaning, cancer. Now, cancer, oh my God, cancer. This cancer, what shall we do? God has a solution for cancer.
Amen.
Do you know where the solution is? Within the mind. The soul must give energy to the body.
Amen.
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 Scripture. I wish above all things that thou mayest what? Prosper. And do what? And be in health. You didn't say healing. Healing is different from health.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
The English people. And be in health. Even as the soul does what?
Prosper.
It is the soul that will bring life to the body. Amen.
Amen.
The energy of the soul is meant for the body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know why? The soul is the one that has the ability to connect with the spirit and go and get the life from God and distribute it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So the devil knocks off the mind. The mind is also on the ground. So if the mind is on the ground with the emotion and desire, my mom will say, "Interkeden," that means everything has finished. Interkeden means that's a acquired language. Means everything has finished. Amen. Nollywood will make sure the mind is grounded. It's not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Scripture. He says, I will send my word that will go out. Eh? That it will not return what?
Void.
The word of God has the ability to raise you. He says, they that wait upon the Lord will do what? So as it is rising, it's coming with the mind. And the mind is pulling along the emotions. It's pulling along the desires. You put in as everybody begins to rise. Did you know that this serpent used to be a flying serpent? Did you know? That serpent in Genesis used to fly in the heavens. Amen. Something happened, it became earthbound. This desire can be heavenly. It says, set your affections. Set your desire. Where? On the things above. And what happens, it will begin to walk in that place. Amen. If you want to go a little bit further down into the river, there are cherubims. There are two types of cherubims. One has four wings. It covers the legs. The other one, it covers the face. But there is a newer cherubim. Amen. It covers the legs, covers the face, but has extra two wings. What do you think it does with that one? Begins to rise. So the cherubims in Revelation 6, 4, 5, down, are different from the ones we find in Ezekiel. The ones down the road have have acquired an ability to rise into the heavens. And that's what the holy place is all about. Now, if you go to Esther, when they built Esther, if you look at Solomon's temple, you will notice that when he built Solomon's temple, the holy place was on a higher plane. You have to climb to go up. So what is he saying to you? The outer court experience is different from the walk in the holy place. And let me end with that. The holy place experience is the experience of the spirit and the experience of the table. We can't sufficiently deal with it today, but this is the spirit and this is the word. And this is the experience that you and I as believers must come into. Because of not complicating it, I'll just stop it there. We are talking about sonship. And what we are saying is that the spirit of Christ must possess the spirit and then go to possess the soul, and from the soul it will possess the body, and that will bring the total redemption for the body. Now, how about today? Now, today is important because many of us do not have a vision, don't understand what God is doing. The divine order is that first, the spirit will be redeemed, Holy Ghost baptism. Next, the soul will be redeemed. And after that, the body. Now, Bible says 7 weeks are determined to do what? To make an end of sin. Where? In the soul. Amen. So, in the calendar of God, where the church is that the church has experienced being born again. The church has experienced Pentecost, all these baptisms. But the church has not experienced this life of God in the spirit to come into the soul. That is what is lacking. And this experience that is talking of, that we are saying that is lacking, is what the Bible calls tabernacle. That means when my soul becomes the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, the fullness of God, the Emmanuel, Christ in the soul, now begins to take over all the realms of my mind, emotion, and desire. This is what we should be doing now. And God has given a fixed time for it. Amen.
Amen.
There is a fixed time for it. Now, there is a fixed time for it because, come back to here, this darkness is also spreading in the soul. And that is why, brethren, we must not rest. If we go to sleep, there is something that will surely happen. What is it? He says that they do not measure the court that is what? Outside. Because it's given over to what? The Gentile. What is he saying? Gentiles means worldliness. Worldliness is spreading in the soul. And it's running very, very fast. There is a number. Alright, you know the number. What is it called? 666. The last one, they have not written this last one yet. Isis. Isis has brought it down. And they are working very hard. What are they working hard to do? They want to complete it. God cannot allow them to complete it. That's why a man called Donald Trump came. This is me. This is me. If you don't agree, no problem. God bless you. No problem. God bless you. God, just don't worry. This is just your brother. That your brother. Just, you know, is in hell. That's why God brought that man to come. The man is not born again. We thank God for the life from. Because if not, by now, I don't even know whether I'll be in this room. So we have time. I hope you will get 8 years. So that we will arrange ourselves. So that we can arrange ourselves. Amen.
Amen.
Here in Nigeria, I don't know what we have got to. You should interpret it. But brethren, the darkness is spreading in the mind of men. The Bible said that there are some, they will not eat until they have done some evil. So that they eat the bread of violence. Is it in your Bible? They eat, that violence is what gives them strength. Just like when you sing, "We bless your name, that holy name," you are on the ground. Their own, when they kill somebody, they're on the ground. So they want to kill more and more. One of them in Owerri, they say he has killed, he cannot count the number of people he has killed. They call him vampire. There's another one here. They call him urban gorilla. That's why they just caught him the other day. Do you know how many other urban gorillas that are running around that have not been caught? Amen. Brethren, we need to wake up. The darkness is not waiting for us. It's spreading. Hallelujah. And God says, only he who now does what? Listen. That is holding it back. We continue to hold it until what? It comes forth out of the ek misos gene. It is coming from the mist. What is the mist? The darkness is there already before Christ comes. And he's also struggling to overcome. Amen. Therefore, you and I must wake up. He said, as soon as Zion travailed, there must be a travailing of Zion. What is the travail about? That Christ, the fullness of Christ, may come forth in my mind, may come forth in my emotions, may come forth in my desire, may come forth in my will. This was the original vision we had. But an enemy come in between and began to sell us, "Hey, my God is good, everything that double, double, that double." We forgot where we are going to. But God is saying, come back again. We have a journey. And that journey is that the spirit of adoption might adopt my whole being. Amen. That is the vision. Somebody say, what's the vision without her pastor? That's not our vision. What's the right one of your vision? You share, I share. That's not our vision. Amen. The vision is that Christ is in my soul. And that Christ in my soul must overcome every other God. I will serve no foreign God. Or any other treasure. Amen. That is the vision. It's not that we don't have pastor. We don't have name. You say, what's your name? We don't have name. You're a cult now. You say, no, I'm not a cult. That's not where we are sending you to go. Amen. Amen. If they ask you, say, Christ is in my soul. Amen. And that Christ wants to take over my mind. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Christ is making war with my tribe, with my mind. Hallelujah. Amen. So, why are we talking about it today? Because as many as are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Sons of God must first register in the soul. Okay, that brings me to the last part of the message. I'm not drawing again. Let's not define the Son of God. What does the Son of God mean? So with this one, I think we can close. I've just done about 1 hour plus. So, Brother Isaac, Brother Hubert does 2 hours plus. Isaac does 2 hours plus. So I'm just trying. God bless you. But who about those 2 hours, 2.5 hours? He stays there. So me, I'm just struggling to do 1.5 hours. Say praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Okay, Luke 1 verse 18. Luke 1 18. What does it say? It says, and the child grew. And did what? Let's read it together. And the child grew and did what? Was strong in spirit and was in the days and good. Amen. Oh yeah, let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 14. What does this say? The same child though. And the child grew and was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. Now, when the Bible talks about a son, what is he talking about? Who is he addressing? Remember, there are three parts to you. So who is to work strong and grow in spirit? Alright, let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs 16:32. This is how you measure the sons of God. This is the quality of the sons of God. Alright, are we together? It says, he that is slow to what? To anger. Anger is an emotion, is it not? Mm-hmm. Is what? Better than the mission man. You know the mission man? Again, do you know the mission man? The mission man. Amen. The evangelist. That's it, lad. He that is slow to anger is what? Better than the mighty. Amen. And he that what? Ruleth his spirit. Is what? Than he that taketh. What's he saying? He's speaking about the definition of a son of God. Was strong in spirit. What do you need strength in the spirit to do? To rule the energy in my soul. Amen. Did you see the horns in the soul? Eh? Let me show you the horns. Look at them. 1, 2, 3. There is strength in the soul. Eh? They call it charisma. Have you heard that word before? It has charisma, charismatic. Soul power. Now there's a new one. Emotional intelligence, focus. Inspirational. How to maximize your potential. How to be a champion. How to the God that took me up will not allow me to come down. How to make the most out of your opportunity. Leave it. Read Proverbs. Whenever you start telling all those things, just go to Proverbs. And what is he saying? How? Say it's better to rule your spirit. Success, promotion comes from the north, comes from God. But now, north is God. Amen. Eh? Okay, sorry. He said promotion does not come from the north or from the. Okay, does it come? Okay, it comes from the Lord. Amen. So the thing that's doing promotion is not focus. You know when you focus that you have promotion. The promotion says you will be the head and not the tail. It's already guaranteed. I don't need any focus to do anything. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man that is diligent in his ways." Amen. The diligence comes from seeking first the kingdom of God and in righteousness, and all other things will. Amen. When a man is diligent to seek God, to submit to God, you are giving the Spirit of God authority to rule the members of your house. That man is going to go places. Amen. So he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Amen. May God help us to tame the anger. See, anger is outrageous. Is that correct? And favor is what? Anger is what? This. No, not that one. There's one he says. Anger is what? Anger is outrageous. And envy is what? It's a scripture. So anger will burn down the whole house. Levi and Simeon. They dig down the whole city. Amen. They burnt and destroyed everything. There are sons of God. Hallelujah. But then we are talking about going beyond where we are now. We are bringing it down to practicals. This message of sons of God must visit my home. It must visit my person. Amen. And my person is a Nigerian Christian, pride. Can you imagine everybody here now is dealing with pride? Is that correct, sister? Amen. You eat, I eat. So what's the problem? You give me food. Now they feed me. Now they give me chop. You chop, I chop. What is their own? Amen. Say amen now. Then there is divisions. Look at them now. They have come again. These elders have come. Should I go there? These elders have come. See here, see how they are walking. Me too, I can walk. Amen. Sister, beauty, say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just say you are saying this. I just want you to say praise the Lord. Amen. Divisions. How about the rubber? Blood covenants. Amen. I know some of us, we are coming from chieftaincy. In the place where we are, we rule. My opinion must hold. Look, brother, this is the way it should be done. This is the way. This is the way it should be done. Amen. You see, I'm holding, I'm just telling you this is the way it should be done. But I must have my way. Amen. So everybody in this room has his way. Is that correct? Everybody has his own way. God called it divisions. Hallelujah. Sons of God. Sons of God must rule in their members. And that begins with me. Amen. I'm trying to lie down on the ground. I say, God, have mercy on your son. Would you pray like me? He said, God, have mercy on your son. Because my opinion must rule. You know, as if you have gone to school, they are giving you one thing there. After you write your name, they write something else. All those who have those things should. In fact, when I finish praying, you raise your hand. I put your hand on your hand. Say, God, have mercy. Because it means you know book. My own idea is better than your own idea. Amen. What are you saying? I know it now. Ideas. Opinions. You know, plans, purposes, things I have designed for myself. This is how my life is going to go. This year I'm going to make 2 million. By the next year I'm going to make 10 million. In 5 years time, man, I'm going to be hitting the 100. Amen. It's called possessing your possessions. Amen. He said, that man, he counted his yam, his band. He said, today, my soul, have your rest. We shall go so and so and so. They said, you don't know anything. Hallelujah. Brethren, this is the definition of a son of God. Ability to rule this Nigerian energy that is in me. Amen. How about the tribe? You know, some of our tribes are warlike. When you mention the name, even the way they pronounce the name is war. Amen. It's a warning. Say, you, war is inside. He said, now when I speak, it is for war. But in my mind, I want to make peace, but as I begin to talk, war is coming. They're speaking about energies in the soul. That soul must be crucified. Hallelujah. Let's read the broader scripture. Proverbs 25:28. Okay, you see, this is the brothers. He that hath no rule over his own spirit. Let me give you one example of spirit. Emotion. We're talking about emotion. There are different emotions for anger, emotion for joy, for pleasure, for food, for sleep. There are different emotions. I don't want to go into the classes of emotions. And he said, he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Well, we are talking about energies where you find out that in your family line, you look down the line, all the women are at home. After 2 years, they all come back. And you have told you, you are now married. You say, see that man? Look, make you not go there, I allow the man to do anything. You are a graduate. If the man do anything, just come back home. Do you understand what is going on? It's an energy rising. And it's inside you. Because you are looking at your sisters, they are all at home. Amen. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down. What is he saying? That we as a people, we need to sit down and look inward. Let's leave Babylon alone. I'll pay all these things you are talking about. Sit down. Say, sit down. And count the cost of building this house. Amen. There are things that are running wild. We must bring them and bring it to the cross. Amen. And the Bible says, they that are Christ have crucified what? The emotions, the flesh. Flesh means these desires and emotions, these things we are talking about, that are not yet brought under the control of Christ. That is flesh. He said, they that are Christ have what? Crucified. Ah, it is a hope for me. Because when I look inside, I see these wild beings. Hey, have you met a lion before? This one we went, they said, let's go and see lion. Everybody that went out that place looking for lion. We went to see lion. And we saw about two of them. Amen. Simba. What we want, you see. It has killed one, though. The one was there, it was just there. When one bird came, he stood up. The bird was coming to eat, it was it has killed. He stood up. When the bird went away, he went and sat down again. Simba is inside my soul. Eh? The lion. Hallelujah. So, all our waving hand, my waving hand, must go back. I must go back to this lion that is there. The lion of Judah wants to meet with it. Amen. Amen. But I have no brethren. Amen. They that are Christ. Can you show that scripture? Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ have crucified. My hope is this message I'm preaching. Christ in the soul. Amen. The Christ in the soul is coming to crucify this lion. Hallelujah. Bring the bed, say, my friend, sit down here. Hallelujah. You read the scripture, as you go out to fetch water, the scripture has run away. What do you think is going on? He's saying that they that don't have room. Look at it. 24. I hope that is it. Amen. And they that are Christ are what? Crucified the flesh with their affections. And what? Lost. This is the hope. Hallelujah. Say amen. This is the hope. Hallelujah. Say, if we live in the Spirit, let's what? Also walk in the Spirit. It's not saying you trying to overcome. No. The Christ in you must grow. Hallelujah. Let that river flow into your soul. Hallelujah. Let it flow more. Let the strength of Christ come more into my soul. As it comes into my soul, it begins to bring my emotion, my desire, my will under His control. Let me end. I want you to look at that word crucified, because that is a hope and it's also a problem. Now, many of us think that Jordan is going to be swallowed in one day. It doesn't happen like that. They say crucifixion is a slow death. That's why some of them argue that Jesus did not die on the cross. Sorry, don't mind me. Do you understand? I'm just taking you somewhere else. Is it didn't die? Because when you crucify a man doesn't die immediately. You understand? But other things happened. Alright? They beat him so much, he was almost there before they got to the cross. You understand? And they came to break the leg. And instead, the man went for the heart. So the water came out. He died. So he actually died on the cross. We know. But ordinarily, he wouldn't have died on the cross. You are taking some time, because to crucify means slow death, slow painful death. That's how God wants to deal with the old man in you. Don't you understand? This old nature, this old fallen nature, is not going to die by one blow. This conference, this weekend, this teaching of Bible you are preaching, it will be one more blow. Say amen.
Amen.
It's another blow. But that blow may not be enough to knock out the old man. So you need to come and pick another blow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why you need the night vigil. You need the prayer meetings. Amen.
Amen.
You need the fasting. Say, this kind going not out, but thy what?
Yeah.
1 day, 2 days, 3 days. All those things you are doing, you are trying to bring a lot of blows to knock out the old man. Hallelujah. So they that are Christ have crucified the affections and the lusts. It can be crucified. I must believe to the saving of my soul. Amen. So let me read the definition I wrote, then we will close. Sonship means the maturity of the inner man. Sonship means that the inner man is now fully awake. It is the fully awake inner man who is now walking and seeing and hearing and being aware of the spiritual environment, in the spiritual environment. Sonship means that the senses in the spirit are fully awake. Sonship means that the inner man is no longer a weakling, no longer a servant of sin, no longer a child. He's now fully matured, strong to operate in the spirit. Sonship means that the inner man is fully empowered to rise above the earth with the two extra wings of the spirit and the world. Sonship means the inner man attaining to the character and being transformed into the likeness of God. Sonship means that the soul has come to full maturity and has received the ability to relate to God and to take responsibility to judge the darkness. Sonship means that the seed of Christ within the soul has come to full maturity. I've used different words to try to so you can put it in your own words, you can understand it. But the Bible says there are three levels of sons. The Bible recognizes three levels of sons. There is a little son, because the technon, as a technon, little son, a little child, technon. Okay, I should write technon. That is the child, small child. There's another one, technion. I'm not quite sure of the spelling of this, but it means a young man, simple, a simple man. Then he has the last one, telios. Or sometimes he calls it heos. It means a fully grown, matured man. Amen. So I speak to you, young men, you children, for you have your sins forgiven. So I speak to you, young men, because you are strong. But I speak to you, fathers, because you have known. Hallelujah. You have known. Your senses have been fully discerned to know the Father. Hallelujah. So, this inward man has been asleep, has been a servile, a servant. He says the hair, as long as it's a child, is under tutors and governors, under the elements. But the time comes when that little hair, that son, called to be a son, when he becomes 30 years, he comes to full age. And the burden of God is that you and I, somebody told us we have received this word for over 30 years now. So we should be coming to fullness. We should be coming to maturity. That our mind must be operating with maturity. We should be getting ready to take responsibility in the house, to deal with this spirit, this Nigerian, our tribal, our personal. We should come up to fullness in dealing with it. So I believe that God is coming back to us again to restore, to remember the old things, to sharpen the vision, to make it clear. Say, write the vision and make it clear. That he may run, that is there. Because the time to run has come. Amen. Say, we are wrong with the footmen and the weary dust. The horsemen are coming. You know, so Boko Haram is degraded. Who knows what is coming next? So we're not going to wait for them to come. We are rising. And we are pushing. And what are we pushing? We are pushing to the saving of our soul. Christ must take over everything. And we pray, we know, the man says, the grace that brought me thus far, that grace will lead me on. We'll finish it up. So he that began this good work is fully ready. Is fully capable of finishing it. Blessed be God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we are going to end here for today. And by the grace of God, we will take the last one tomorrow. And then other times, we will schedule another time to address some of these issues. Praise the Lord. So I don't know whether we should pray now and then take questions later. So let's just pray and just deal with the issues, and then we can take questions later so that we don't miss the strength of the word. Brother Cass.